Hello everyone, welcome to Stories and Stanza. I'm happy to have you here. I'm a writer and I created this podcast to bring out real stories that make life as beautiful as poetry. I'll take you on a journey through the human experience, sharing stories and conversations to uplift your spirit. Whether you're a lover of literature, a writer, or someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza may be the place for you. Today is another episode of the Fail With Me segment, where we explore what failure truly is and link this with emotional intelligence in a supportive space. In a messy and imperfect world where we celebrate success and whisper about failure in a hushed tone, Fail With Me flips the script. Please join me in welcoming Brandi Patterson Walker as a guest speaker. She's a therapist and a social worker who teaches workshops to make concepts like inner child, shadow work, and past lives more accessible and digestible. In this episode, we will talk about her struggles turning things around with her own life and her approach to helping people reach their survival goals. I hope you will like this episode. Feel free to share your comments. Thank you. Hi, Brandi. Good evening and welcome to Stories and Stanza. Thank you for joining me today.
Hello. Thank you. So glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making time on a weekday evening and all the challenges we face to, you know, find a slot between two of us who are so wide apart. And so for our audience, would you like to give a brief introduction, please?
Sure. I'm a therapist, and I am also a coach, and, you know, I call myself an intuitive, you know, somebody who, you know, does work around sort of spiritual, topics and lessons and gifts. But most of my work is in the therapy realm. I work with all ages, really. And mostly with people who identify as highly sensitive people. And, you know, often there is trauma involved, or there has been trauma involved.
Right. I understand. And as we speak, we will get to know a little bit more, I hope. So just to start our discussion today, so in this podcast, I try to talk to people, get to know their real stories and present it to others so that it is a platform for inspiration. And I have like different sort of segments in the podcast where sometimes I speak to the creators, writers, artists, etc. I speak to therapists and behaviorists, which in this particular segment I call that Fail With Me. And I personally feel that when we talk about like motivation and inspiration, in a lot of articles and books that I read, it says, oh, you are a failure and you have to do this to get it right. And I want to challenge that narrative, as in I'm trying to say that failure is perfectly normal and natural. And the better we embrace it, the better we would be, you know, in our life. So just to start our discussion, can I ask that as a therapist, do you think that you relate to this idea?
I do. Yeah. I mean, what comes to mind is if we are able to get good at rejection, it tends to like exponentially enhance our chances of success, right? Like the more we're willing to fail, yes, the more we are likely to succeed.
Absolutely. And when we spoke last week, you told me about your own journey, how you became a social worker and then a therapist. Would you like to share that with the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. I always feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. I actually had the, you know, I had a story that is, you know, I went a little off the path. I barely graduated high school. And then I got pregnant pretty young. And was kind of floating around for a while, not in a great place, you know, mental health wise. You know, this was 20 years ago, so there wasn't a lot of information. Like, we just didn't talk about anxiety and depression like the way we do now, I think, in the common culture. And so I just felt like I felt like something was wrong with me. I felt like I was the problem. I was the failure. And I went back to school. So I ended up going back to school in my mid-20s and getting a degree in sociology. But I still really felt like it was hard to, I felt like it was hard to regulate my emotions. I didn't have that kind of language then, but I just felt like I was like super emotional and was kind of a mess. And I had by the time I was 30, I had two kids, and I was doing the best I could, but I didn't feel like I was successful adult. I felt like I was, you know, I was cleaning houses and waiting tables. And I realized I had a lot of work to do on myself. So I went back to therapy and began to do that work for me and to do my own work. And I started meditating, and I got into more of the spiritual realm. By the time I was 35 and beginning my journey to become a social worker and therapist, I had built up a lot of, I guess you could say, like, street cred. Like, I knew what people were going through because I had been there.
Right. So you, in a way, your own struggles set a path for you. You are who you are today because of those struggles?
I think so. Yeah. I think that the gift of being a therapist now is that I get to help. I do resonate, and I try not to like put that on my my clients, but when somebody is going through something, it's helpful when there's a sense of like someone gets it, you know. And so,
yeah. Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll share something here. I mean, I've had my own set of challenges. Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that when you are going through your most difficult period, you feel like, if there was someone to hear you, if there was someone to understand the emotional pain of it, and then coming out on the other side as a stronger self. But usually when we go through that phase, there are very few people who can truly connect with. I'm not just saying that, regularly connect with, but soulfully connecting with someone or someone who would understand challenges. So from your journey, from a point where you thought that you are not doing things right, and then turning things around and becoming a social worker and therapist, and then now you're helping people. So what was your turning point? Would you like to say anything about mm-hmm. that?
Well, I think my turning point was my first semester of grad school. One of my professors, we had this particular class where we were learning about different ways of treatment, different therapies. And we were also doing some we were providing very short form therapy for our classmates, and they were doing that back to us. And so we were in this sort of round robin of sharing our own stuff. And it was a very vulnerable class. The professor did a really great job of creating a safe space for us to do that. But I remember early on, he asked, does anybody think they're not going to make it through grad school? And we had all lined up, and it was this exercise of people who had been basically different traumas and different things that people had been through to give us an idea of what our classmates were going through, or what people in general had gone through. And so if, you had this issue, then you took a step. And if you had this issue, then you took a step. And one of the questions was, do you think you're going to make it through grad school? And I did not. I think I was maybe the only person, maybe there was one other person, but I think it was a turning point because, first of all, I didn't know at that point it was rare for me to feel that way. And I was also around a lot of people who, for the first time in my life, were pretty educated and had come from educated families. And, just the general, I'm a first generation college kid. No one in my family went to college, let alone grad school. And so I did not think I was going to make it. And I was sort of shocked by my own realization that I felt that way. And it brought up a lot of soul searching of what's that about? And can I finish this program? And, what would it look like to be a therapist?
So you started asking yourself, And you mentioned that your optimism, kept you going through all the troubled times. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. To your point, what you mentioned earlier about people sort of not feeling like others' judgment, feeling like nobody gets it, or feeling like you don't want to talk about your failures. I think that doing, especially, mental health work, going to therapy, working on yourself, that's brave, difficult work. And people, I think, are quicker to judge because it's easier to judge than to do that work themselves. And it's kind of a protective mechanism. Yes. And so if you can sort of remember that, whatever their judgment, it's 99% of the time about them. And the other 1% of the time it's about them. It's what they're going through, and they're sort of, it may have something to do with you in the realm of you're the person they're projecting that judgment onto, but it's about their philosophy of the world. And you don't have to carry the shame or the blame. Even if you made a mistake, and even if you're, making amends and making changes, even if failure means you legitimately screwed up and you want to change that, there's no benefit ultimately in holding on to that shame and guilt. And that is really what I had to learn, and what I learned in my own like therapy journey, is that me carrying that was not a service to myself or anyone else.
That is, I cannot say how much I agree with that, because I was telling you that I had my difficult periods, and then in those stages, like I really struggled, and I really wanted to someone or some process to rely on, like just to say that I'm feeling vulnerable and what do we do and how do I sort of come out of it. And then gradually I realized that all of that I had within myself, and then it just needed that that path of recovery. And which is why I am doing this podcast, is that we share real stories and feel that someone somewhere out there may be benefited by these stories of struggle and then bouncing back from there. You said a lot about your struggles, and then turning things around in your some of the key moments from there. Was there any other than your professor whom you mentioned, like is there any other journey that truly inspired you, that truly helped you become who you are?
I mean, I'm sure there's loads. I've been trying to, I would say, build like a career for myself on the internet since probably 2011. And that was sort of the early days of podcasting and social media. I mean, it was even the early days of social media. Like, Facebook had been around for a little bit, but it was really just kind of picking up steam, and not a lot of people were creating content online. Not a lot of people were selling classes online. And I had some early success from like 2011 to 2013. And then I really couldn't, I couldn't get like the baby bird like out of the nest and like flying, right? Like it was just, I was holding at, a certain capacity of like, it wasn't failure, but it wasn't success, right? And, And I ultimately, a lot of that was because I was doing that work, that like deep inner work. And I made the decision in part to go and get my license in social work, so that I would have those letters behind my name, so that I could say like, hey, I actually know what I'm talking about. And I know you don't believe me now because I don't have any letters, but let me do that. And it wasn't that I didn't need the master's program for sure, but a lot of the work I had already done before the master's program. And I would still say I'm not like, a full blown, like I have a small social media, thing,
footprint,
but for as long as I've been doing it, I have not achieved, I think a lot of people would call it failure, but I love creating content and I love sharing this message like with the world. And I'm committed to it, I'm committed to it regardless of the
I understand. Whether it's a success or failure. So you want to put your content out there and your journey and what like what you're offering people at the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we learned about you a fair bit, and I'm curious to know about your own practice as well, as in what are some of the workshops you run and what are the concepts behind them? How do you help mm-hmm. people?
I just launched a workshop called Playground. So that was live on last Saturday, but it's you can get the replay on my website. But it is an inner child workshop. So it's like a almost 2-hour workshop where we go in depth on what is inner child work, why would you do it, how do you do it, and then like I teach you some like practices for, you know, for actually doing that work.
Right. And when we put this interview in all the podcasting platforms, I'll make sure that I'll link your website so that people can get to know more about this and they can follow you and know more about your work. So, you mentioned something about from baseline to thrival. So is that a workshop or is that your kind of motto for therapy mm-hmm. sessions?
It's my model for both coaching and therapy, but especially coaching. So with therapy, I sort of meet the client where they are and we focus on whatever they're wanting to work on. With coaching, I realized a couple of years ago that there were these like a lot of therapy focuses on like getting from survival, like getting to like you're just barely getting by to what you could call baseline, to like, okay, like I'm getting through the day, it's okay, yeah. Like I'm here, but there is all this additional work you can do if you choose to that can bring you to what I call thrival. And that includes inner work and like things like shadow work and working with your ancestors and somatic work, like working with your body. So with my coaching clients, I really go deep into like what they specifically need to work on. And I sort of create like a blueprint of like, these are the focuses. These are the places that may be beneficial to go if you choose to go, like it's always their choice, to do that work to you know, not like everything is going to be fixed after that, but it's like a deeper sense of wellness.
Yes, I attended a somatic workshop recently, and I really, really loved that experience. So, I'm sure that would be amazing for people who are coming to you. What I wanted to ask you is that, you know, everyone's path of healing or, you know, getting in a better shape is very different. So as a therapist, how do you generally approach that?
That's a really good question. You know, I think that's a lot of why therapists have specialties, because like when there is a core problem that's similar to, you know, other people, then I think it's easier to find that thread and identify like, okay, these are the steps. I am more of a generalist as a practitioner, as a therapist. And so like I will see a 13-year-old on the same day I see a 62-year-old and, you know, and this in the same day I see like a 30, you know, something year old. And I think that my sense is the human experience is often we have these points of connection, these things that like are familiar. Most of my clients, like I said, identify as highly sensitive people. So they, you know, that is a particular way of seeing the world. And so the, you know, for those of us, myself included, who felt like, and I think the reason I did barely graduate high school and like sort of wafted around my first couple years of adulthood was because I internalized this belief that like I couldn't hack it as a, you know, as myself. I was too sensitive. I was too emotional. I was just too much and not enough and all of the things at the same time. And so I guess I don't know if I'm answering your question, but I think that like what I found is like for those of us who identify that way, there mm-hmm. are kind of things that can be helpful on that journey of like you're actually not, you know.
I personally feel that that emotional intelligence is the key to, you know, understand and navigate failure, and which is the reason I am trying to talk to many people and understand their perspective so that I can bring those things into my podcast and you know, create sort of the next steps, create some value for people who might listen to this.
Does it feel like you're trying to build your emotional intelligence in doing this podcast?
I surely am. I think of myself as someone of very poor emotional intelligence, and which is why the failures that I have seen in my life has affected me. And gradually, as I am learning more, I think it's helping me, and it's definitely it creates a place where it can help others as well. So I am a writer myself. I write poetry mainly, and I have published two books. And one of the kind of series that I've started writing, but I've not finished it yet, that I started it last year, and I called it Fail With Me. And then I was not podcasting back then, but now that I have started doing it, I'm working on that space as well. So someday if I turn that into a book, all this can be my research work, my groundwork, my way of knowing people and everything.
I would say that probably you have much higher emotional intelligence than you're giving yourself credit for, because really it's about that the desire to have it in the first place is huge. I mean, the fact that you are building this and write poetry, I think that what the trap humans can fall into, and I say trap, you know, I don't know if that's the right word, but what can happen is we get complacent, we sort of fall into same thing day in, day out. We don't really try to push ourselves, we don't really try to learn anything, whether that's learning from an emotional, like psychological perspective, or even learning like a skill like a piano or language. And by the time we're 35, most of our habits are like ingrained, like are automatic. So if we're not intentionally trying to push ourselves and learn those things, then we just become like a series of like our habits.
Yes.
And then it can become like, it just, you know, I'm sure you've met with people who are just like, they're not fully all there, like they're there, but they're not, you know, they're not really wanting to like fully live.
What I personally feel is that my path to creativity, so for a long time, I used to think that I have this creative outlet, and that you know, helps me deal with other difficult things in life. But I was too caught up on that fact, like I have to create, or I have to write, or I have to do this so that I feel better. And I look back into that period, and I feel those are poor in emotional intelligence as well. Because if I was to write, like if I deassociated my feeling bad and my creativity, I'd probably do better. And which is what I think it has been a learning experience for me to know about this and know more about mindfulness and get to a point where I can be resilient. So a lot of that is good learning for me, I'd say. So I think we have come towards the end of our discussion. I have one last question that with the knowledge and experience that you have today, and you had to go back to the years of your struggle, then what advice would you give yourself?
I would tell her it's okay to be a mess and it's okay to not be wherever she thinks she's supposed to be, and that she can enjoy this part of her life even if it's not perfect.
Thank you. Thank you for that wisdom. I guess everyone needs to hear that at some stage of their life. And thank you for taking the time to speak with me today and creating this podcast episode. I'm sure the listeners would love this.
Oh, thank you for having me. Yeah, I hope that it was helpful, and I feel like that's advice that I could actually use myself now. So I'm like, yeah, but I think it's always, we're always failing forward, like, right? Like, we're always figuring it out. Yeah.